Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville. Or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Alva.
You know, I wasn't supposed to say anything. Well, I guess I was supposed to say something, but I didn't want to disrupt you. But you again, you're not supposed to do this on the show after the game. This is the things that are true. And what is true is that we do Strange Brew Coffee House after the things are true.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Do we want to go through with this, or we want to?
Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Alva.
I'd be a little weird.
I'll deal with Strange Brew again when we get there.
Strange Brew didn't know that it was going to get two ads every single Monday.
I'm going to demand a free scone next time I'm up in there.
That's not a bad demand.
All right. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. What that means is this: if you own a business, you know how important the role that printing plays is for you. You know how much money you spend monthly on printing. If you're not working with Pip Printing and Signs, you aren't working with the best. Give Pip Printing and Signs a call today and talk to them and get them on board with you and get the message of your business out there. 601-499-5216. Talk to Cam Baker. Tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. Move around or something. You look stoic. Like this. Yeah. By the way, just in case if you hadn't missed it, we are now available on YouTube. So the video from this podcast will be up here. So you can watch and see all the mannerisms and the frustration that we go through on a daily basis. So
this is how the sausage is made.
Yeah, we're very low tech to start here. We hope to we're going to add some cool graphics at some point, but not today.
Yeah, I want people to know this isn't the finished product.
Just a start.
People have asked for this. People want to see our faces for some reason.
I don't know.
So we're going to give it to them. We give people what they want.
Strike a pose.
That's right.
There's nothing to it.
Blue steel.
College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and I certainly know that you are looking for it. It's time to move forward. It's time to get behind some of these new logos. So do it. State Script, Interlocking, M over S, that's what you need to be wearing to the games. You can get all those great things at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowa by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. For lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is always going to be at Restaurant Tyler. If you are coming to Starkville for any reason, you need to make sure a meal at Restaurant Tyler is on your to-do list. And you don't have to be a special occasion. The special occasion is the meal at Restaurant Tyler. Corner of Main and Washington, it's the best place in town to eat. It's Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only where their locations are, but show you, most importantly, how they're going to help you invest, how they're going to help you manage your money, how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, it's so important to be able to talk to somebody about your money. When you have a question, you can't wait around for an answer. You need to call Priority One Bank and have that relationship with them. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Oh, we got some breaking news here real quick. Hold on. While I was talking,
Arkansas
has scored again.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, so I don't know if I don't add that to the score. I don't know how that works. Arkansas 50-freaking-8.
50.
Mississippi State 25.
This is the 50 that Houston Nutt was talking
about. That's what he was talking about the whole time. An absolute embarrassment from start to finish. I saw a podcast earlier today. Title was "What Went Right, What Went Wrong." I'm like, somebody listen to that and tell me what he said. Went right. I want to know what he said. What went right? Nothing.
There are a couple of bright spots on offense.
Oh, well, I guess. I suppose. If we really want to dig deep, we could find those. I don't want to dig deep. I'm going to live here on the surface.
Oof.
You can dig deep right now if you want. 58-25. Tell them, Falk.
Well,
All right.
Oh, gosh. I mean, what else can we say at this point about this defense that hasn't already been said? It's like the opposite of, like, if you go to someone's, like, Hall of Fame or, retirement. Like, what else can we say about this person that hasn't been said?
Yeah.
That it's the opposite of that.
Right.
And that we've already said everything that needs to be said.
Mm.
It's the writing is on the wall. Everything's been done. Coleman Hutzler cannot move forward as the defensive coordinator at Mississippi State. You cannot move forward like this. I'm sorry. It can't happen. And I don't even know if he's 100% the issue, because I think there's a lot of issues fundamentally within Mississippi State's defense and their program as a whole. And I don't want to blame everything on Coleman Hutzler. I don't think that it's all his fault. I really don't. But I don't see a path forward with Coleman Hutzler. And he might end up being a great defensive coordinator down the line, but at Mississippi State, it's just not going to work. 58 points against Arkansas is despicable work. Like, that's embarrassing. That this is – I haven't gone through and tried to find, you know, the record for points and yards given up. I imagine that game against Houston back in the – was the
Houston
80s?
Houston is the points, 74. That was in the 60s.
Was that the 60s?
Yeah.
I think they gave up like 700 yards or something.
It's possible. Maybe. I mean, they gave up 74 points, so I mean, it's very possible.
This was, to me, the worst defensive ball game in SEC play that I've seen, mm-hmm. I think, at Mississippi State. 673 yards, gross, 58 points. Arkansas is kneeling the football to end the game. It was just absolute, just mind-boggling. I mean, Taylen Green looked like a Heisman candidate yesterday. Mm-hmm. 23 for 29. He had an interception, but five touchdowns, four of them to tight ends who were wide open every single time.
Mm-hmm.
314 yards. They had two rushers that almost had 100 yards. One of them had 175,
mm-hmm.
and the other one, that's a freshman, mm-hmm. and the other one had 98 on 11 carries. Mm-hmm. So in 27 carries, those two almost had 300 yards by themselves. And then you had Taylen Green with 79. They averaged 9.7 yards a rush. They averaged 10.2 yards a play. And the sick joke that God played on Mississippi State football is they were 0 for 7 on third downs. Mississippi State said this week, we're going to fix those third downs. They fixed the third downs, but somehow got worse defensively. This was the worst defense they've put on the field yet. 673 yards is the worst game they've had this year. 58 points, worst game they've had this year. This was bad in every single facet. Offense had 471 yards and left probably 30 points on the table. I mean, legitimately, I can break down for you four possessions where Mississippi State should have scored a touchdown.
Just easy to do it, saying they missed a field goal and they had two possessions end at the one-yard line.
Yes.
17 points.
They had two possessions in at the one-yard line. They had two touchdowns potentially at the one-yard line they weren't able to get.
Yeah.
And out of all that, the four possessions that they had where they were in position there, mm-hmm. they scored 3 points out of those possessions.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you take if you just add a field goal to that, that's still 24 points. It's a totally different game. Arkansas doesn't have 58 points when you do that.
Right.
Mississippi State has 40-plus at that point,
yeah.
getting up to 50 points. So, both sides of the ball just fumbled it figuratively and realistically. Mississippi State had five turnovers in the ball game.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a microcosm of what Mississippi State has become as a team right now. I have a lot of faith this offense is going to be really good at Mississippi State while Lebby's here, but the defensive side of the ball has to be completely blown up. Has to be completely blown up. And it's going to be a massive rebuild on that side of the ball, but it can't continue the way that it is. You're not going to be able to recruit to this. you're not going to be able to develop in this, because it's obvious that there's confusion out there defensively. There's guys running free. The defense doesn't know what's going on. The formations are a mess. It is it's bad in every facet. So, to me, the defense is the biggest takeaway from Mississippi State to this point this year, just how bad this defense is. And it is quite possibly the worst SEC defense I've ever seen. And I don't feel like that's hyperbole. I think that's very much in play.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that one, that there's no getting around the fact that historically this defense is bad.
It's bad. I mean, not just Mississippi State history.
The conference.
Yes.
The college football.
I mean, they are going to surrender probably close to 45 points a game in SEC play.
Yeah.
They play the rest of their schedule in SEC play. Missouri's, you know, right now kind of a – I don't know what to expect with them.
Healthy, they'll score points.
Tennessee and Ole Miss are both going to score a lot of points on this defense. So, has a chance to get up to 40 and close to 45.
You know, Ole Miss has not been good offensively in conference play. They're only getting averaging like 24 points a game. Those are against normal defenses. This is just not a normal defense. It's just not normal what it is. So
I don't know what it is. I mean,
I know what it is. I can't say it. I can't say it on this podcast, but I know what it is.
Putrid?
No, that wasn't the word I was going to use.
There's. I mean, you look at it, and it's like you look at these bad defenses in the past. There's like some good things about bad defenses. Like, well, you know, this defense has some good young talent, or their pass defense can, you know, disrupt plays, get interceptions, or they have a knack for the ball. Mm-hmm. I know this team has gotten some turnovers lately, but I just don't know what you can take away that's been really good.
Yeah,
I really don't. So it is what it is, but I don't think there's a path forward with the current defensive staff. I just don't.
I agree. Well, total agreement with everything you just said.
We're going to get to that, all right?
We're going to get to a lot of things coming up in just a moment. Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. We want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. I came home from the game yesterday, had a skirt steak.
Ooh.
That's about a seven-minute cook. 3 minutes aside, let it rest.
Yeah.
Made some tacos.
Ooh, that
They were delicious. Cool. A steak was the only thing that I could think of that would make me feel better after the debacle that we had to sit through.
Treat yourself.
I did. And you should treat yourself. If you're going to be cooking out, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you don't want to cook, head to one of our great steakhouses across the state of Mississippi. There's one nearly everywhere. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. I told you I was planning my return to Two Brothers. I made it on Friday. I went and got some more pork rind nachos.
I was not invited to this.
Well, I wanted it was me and Aislinn, me and the dog.
Oh, okay.
Well, so it's not like I went with friends.
I can't be upset about that.
You cannot. No. So enjoy yourself with a trip to Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great foods happening there. And then, of course, also our buddy Rob Hadaway was there. He was texting me yesterday. It's like, what should I get? And I told him, and he got like a taco sampler. It was like three or four different tacos.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
It was great. So there you go. And, of course, if you're in the mood for something different, how about a fancy sandwich over at our friends at the Older Brother, Starkville's best new restaurant. They're right next door to each other. Enjoy a great meal at the Older Brother and at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and that's what they've been doing for 50 years. 50 years.
58.
All right.
Trigger warning.
If you need technology for your business, you need a copier to run off, you know, copies of your defensive game plan, or a computer to look up statistics for your defensive game plan, or if you need a new computer or a new laptop to break down film for your defensive game plan, all those things are available to you at Advantage Business Systems at a great price as well. But most importantly, there's service after the sale. I wish there was a phone number we could call right now and say, hey, the defense is broken. Can you come out here and fix it? And Advantage Business Systems would just show up, and 10 minutes later, like, all right, we got it. It's fixed. Fortunately, we don't live in that world. We do live in a world, though, where if you need business technology, it's just a phone call away. 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this fall, assuming you're coming back, You need to go to Maroon & Co. Maroon & Co. is the place in Starkville that has the biggest and best selection of Mississippi State merchandise that you can find. They've got all the new logos. They've got all the top name brands. And most importantly, we can save you some money. I mean, it's expensive to do everything. Let's try to save a dollar here or there. Thunder 15 is our promo code. 15% off regular price on most items. Some exclusions do apply. Or you go to the games this fall, spring, this winter, whatever you go. You need to go to Maroon & Co.
I got some things that are true.
I do. The things that are true are brought to you by the good folks over at Bell Building Supply. If you're cooking out, you need to have the Rolls Royce of cooking machines, and that is the Big Green Egg. They are your platinum Big Green Egg dealer here in the Golden Triangle. If you are looking to get a top-notch grill, the Big Green Egg is the way to go. The holidays are coming up. If you really want to treat dad this holiday season, a Big Green Egg is an unbelievable gift, and they will take care of you at Bell Building Supply. If you live in the Golden Triangle, they can set up delivery for you. Everything that you need happening right there. Bell Building Supply, there's a reason they've been in business as long as they have. They take care of their customers. And, of course, when you're talking about the Big Green Egg, that will take care of the meat. Go buy you a Big Green Egg at Bell Building Supply. I got nine things that are true.
Whew.
Nine. I'm going to tell you. There's one in here that we could say is kind of positive. There's one. The rest of them, I don't want to see that damn doom and gloom thing either. I don't want to see it. Because that's where we are, y'all.
Yeah, if you're saying I'm being negative,
I can't help you at this point.
I think we've been pretty positive over the last 5 weeks.
And we tried.
Try.
So there you go. Number one. He's got to go. Not tomorrow. Not after breakfast. Now. All right? Social club.
He's got to go.
He's got to go.
Oh, man.
He's got to go. I know we make the whole what must be done eventually got to be done. Yeah. I know. I get you just can't go on like this. You can't go on like this right now.
Don't you think like now is the time to do it?
Do it. This is the time. You fired Arnett this time. You fired the head coach this time. Just get him out. Let Barnes run it the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Let an analyst or a GA take over the linebackers. It'll be fine.
It almost never, when you get to this point, it almost never turns around. Yeah. Like, this is so bad. This is so egregious. There's no way that you can convince me that it can be fixed. Like, there's no way.
Yeah.
At least with, you know, without going and getting someone else. I think this is the time to do it mm-hmm. because you're going to have probably 25,000 people at the game if you're lucky on Saturday.
We'll get to that.
The give a crap is slowly, actually quickly fading. I mean, people really enjoyed that run where State was competing against Georgia, Texas, and Texas A&M. Now they want to win, and you're playing teams that you can beat. Arkansas looked like an unbeatable offense the other day, and they're 4-3. Right. I mean, I think they're good, but they shouldn't have done what they did to Mississippi State.
I was at the game in 2012 when Johnny Manziel came here
mm-hmm.
and was dominant on his way to the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah,
and Taylen Green looked better than that. Yet.
Taylen Green looked like that. State couldn't get him on the ground. They couldn't stop him. That, to me, and I don't think that Coleman Hutzler is the biggest issue for Mississippi State, and that feels strange to kind of try to compute.
I kind of disagree.
Well, I think the talent is so bad.
The talent is really bad, but
there's not much that it shouldn't be this bad.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I think there's a combination of the two, but he's in charge. That's right. The problem is like he was in charge, and you know everybody was upset when he was with Alabama during the playoffs and preparing for that. And I thought that was a little silly to be upset about that. But when you look at the product right now, the fact that he wasn't here doing everything he possibly could every second to make sure his talent was better is kind of a red flag.
And that's the other thing is we live in a day and age where it'd be one thing if he came in here and we didn't have a transfer portal.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is just what you got. Mm-hmm. And you got to get him up. You get him a couple years in that situation. He could have gotten new players in. He was unable to do it.
And I hear what people say too. Like they're like, well, it was he came in late and people were already recruiting. But also, he got a few guys to campus and didn't finish. And guys that he had coached before, or Matt Barnes had coached before, they couldn't finish. They couldn't get them committed.
Of all the guys, you know, Barnes, Hutzler, and Corey Bell. Nobody. We got two guys from Memphis. That's it. Hutzler or Barnes used to coach at Ohio State. Couldn't get anybody down here.
But he got a dude to visit.
He got him to visit. Visit.
But that's what I'm saying.
Visit. What are we talking about?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You got him on campus and couldn't
even get
finish.
Anybody from Alabama to visit.
No.
So
it's
he just got to go.
It's beyond repair.
There's just no fixing it.
But did you see the some of the numbers?
Mm-hmm. We'll save that for another day. But you're correct.
We can't talk about it now.
I mean, I can build a whole podcast around that. I don't want to put it in this segment. So, number two.
Trying to silence me.
No. Number two. You and I have been covering this team for a long time. Seen a lot of games against Arkansas. I have never seen that many Arkansas fans in the stadium. They knew
they could win.
Like, we need to go to this one because we're going to get the dub. It's going to be a good day for us. I have never. And again, we've been having that discussion for a long time about the faculty and the people on the east side selling their tickets. I mean, there were like 3,000 or 4,000 Arkansas fans just smattered across. It looked kind of like when State played Georgia.
Yeah,
you know, there was just that much red over there, interspersed among everything else. They all knew they came down, and they were like, "We're going to win big, and we'll have a great day out." I've never seen anything like that.
The fans travel if they're three different things. The elite that have fans all over, right. They travel.
Yes.
They believe they're going to win the game big,
mm-hmm.
or it's a venue they don't normally get to go to.
Right.
Like State fans, I think a good bit went to Texas.
Yeah.
I think some went to Georgia.
I think Texas will bring a big crowd next year.
Right. It's just a chance to experience. Yesterday was 100% because they knew they were going to win the game.
Yeah, because they come here every year.
Yeah.
Every other year. So.
And the tickets were, the like people talk about, you know, the faculty or whatever, those are getting sold on like Ticketmaster, those apps and those.
Right.
They're not seeking out Arkansas fans and giving their tickets to them. They're putting them on the market.
Right. Whoever can buy them can buy them. But
that's why but we got to do something with the faculty tickets. Like, put them in the upper deck. If you're not using your tickets, I don't know how you could follow that or whatever, but. If you're not using your tickets, if a large majority of like faculty over there is not using them, they don't need to be there.
Well, on top of
those are prime seats.
Those are prime seats. That should be seats for people who donate thousands to the university. If you want to give discounted tickets to the faculty, that's fine. The upper deck is fine for them.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do? Complain? They're not using the tickets anyway.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy, man.
I've never seen anything like that from Arkansas. I've seen it, you know, from other, like Alabama, from, like the
Georgia
programs.
Yeah.
From Arkansas, no. Number three, speaking of crowds, we might have a bigger crowd at the Hump than we're going to see at Davis Wade this weekend. I saw somebody I think we only have like 35,000. I'm like, what?
It's going to be tough to hit 35.
I'm telling you right now, it's going to be tough to hit 20.
I think they'll
Why
hit 20.
Why would you come?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like that. This is what I feared after the Toledo game.
Yeah.
This is what I feared. But
we're talking about visiting crowd.
Yeah.
There's no UMass fans coming.
Well, I thought that the team had, you know, they started to rally a little bit.
Yeah.
This one looked like I was concerned about this last week when I saw their faces post game after the Texas A&M game. It just looked like they were kind of broken a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you could kind of see that broken spirit at times.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you know, just kind of dragging a little bit. It just looks like a team that is tired, man. Like one thing I can say about this team this year, we talk about how bad the defense is, and I think we belabor that point as we probably should.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's an effort issue with this team.
Right.
I don't think that. There was times
that's
maybe
the
against,
worst part though. If they were just laying down and I'd be okay. Well, you know, they're not in it. The fact that they're trying and they're this bad is a huge, huge problem.
Well, I would rather them.
I would, but play at the hard. Same time, it just hurts to watch.
It does. I tweeted it yesterday in the first quarter. Like, it's just sad watching the State defense because, like, they are trying hard and they just can't do it. They can't make plays. They're out of position. They don't know what's going on. It's the Hunter Washington play where he got just put on skate. He
sold him a Lunchable out there.
Oh, man. It's just
so bad.
Like, so that's kind of the things I'm talking about when I'm saying, like, it's not all Coleman Hutzler, because some of it is just genetics and just, I mean, the players just are not good enough and they don't have enough depth.
Mm-hmm.
That defensive line right now is just, it's rough.
Yeah.
And that falls on the coaching staff. They wanted to run it back with a lot of guys, and they went into the transfer portal and got guys that had done nothing hardly in college at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a potpourri of things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
There you go. Number four.
Only five more to go.
Yeah. You can't be confident in picking State to beat UMass. You can pick them to beat UMass. They're a 17.5-point favorite, which, I mean, that's a low number. I think, wasn't Missouri like a 27.5-point favorite?
On the road.
On the road.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And covered.
But you can't sit here with just a straight face and say, this is the gimme for Mississippi State.
It's not a gimme.
It's not a gimme.
Not a gimme.
There is a scenario that exists where State loses this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that State wins, but you're right. Like, it's not a game where you're just like, we're sitting here talking about, you know, hopefully by the second quarter, we're able to start seeing, you know, Jake Ware in their quarterback or something. Like, I don't feel like that about this game. I think that there is certainly, like you said, an avenue that takes you down a very, very dark path. And that would, I don't know, we might not even record the next day. We might just have memory of.
No. We will be here. So, I mean, you just can't have that confidence. Number five, the Mike Wright syndrome has got to go. And what I mean by that is this. You can't keep putting a quarterback in that you're just going to let him run the football and not do anything else.
Oh, Chris Parson.
What are you doing? As soon as he comes in, everybody on the defense knows he's going to take the ball off tackle. That's all there is to this.
Running that on fourth and goal from the one was baffling.
Malpractice.
It was baffling.
I mean, he's not perfect.
And he's not. I think
that was a mistake.
I don't think there's a single play caller that you can't find a hole, mm-hmm. you know, in what they do. I actually think Lebby this year has been really good from a play calling standpoint. There's probably like a handful of things that I've looked at and said, why did they do that?
Like,
he hadn't done that a bunch.
Right.
But that yesterday made no sense.
I say it all the time. If you're going to have a package for a second quarterback, the second quarterback has to be different than the first quarterback. You had that last year with Will Rogers and Mike Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Totally different guys. Van Buren can do all of the things.
Van Buren could have done that.
Yeah, Van Buren could have easily run the same plays. So I just don't understand what you're doing there, especially on fourth and one. As soon as he came on the field, the entire Arkansas defense is saying, he's getting the ball. There was never a chance there. Like, if he had pulled it and thrown it, or he had handed it off, that scores. Because nobody thinks he's doing
that. That would have been a great play design, like a slip out, an up back, or Traore or somebody, which... Like,
if you're going to play,
they scored on the play before that, but
yeah. Number six, has Coleman Hutzler been fired yet?
Since you said he got to go,
has it happened? Point.
It has not.
Oh no! All right, go ahead.
I got to tell you, Brian, I'm a little concerned it's not going to happen.
It's going to happen at the end of the year. Right, don't you do that.
Maybe it's just the pessimist.
You cannot go forward. You cannot.
There is no one that follows this closely. There's people that, you know, they watch the game and that's all they really know about Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
The people that follow this closely will not have any faith in Jeff Lebby if he doesn't make a move.
That's correct.
They will have no faith.
So just don't do that.
It's got to be a Dan Mullen, Carl Torbush situation.
Yeah, one and done. Number seven.
Sometimes, I mean, you just got to say, like, okay, this just didn't work out.
Yeah.
But this is not, you might end up being a great coach,
mm-hmm.
but for this particular situation is just not going to work out.
Yeah, I agree. Number seven, there's the positive one. I told you this in the press box yesterday. Kevin Coleman is who Tulu Griffin was supposed to be. This guy that when he gets the ball in his hands, he makes things happen. He's now sitting, I think, on 51 catches for the season. 5 games left. He's going to finish around, assuming he doesn't get injured, assuming everything stays the same, he's going to get around 80 catches this year. He's been really, really good. Him, Craver, those are two pieces you can build around with Van Buren.
Mm-hmm.
You hope that, you know, something happens where Caleb Cunningham is interested. I can't see why he would be, but that's a story for another day. But Coleman is really, really good. He's a really good football player. You know, he's a good player on a bad team. And, you know, if he's a guy that he could have gone, if he had gone to somewhere like Alabama or LSU or something, people would be talking about him nationally, I think. He's really, really good.
He makes plays that no one else at Mississippi State has been able to make.
He takes the short pass and turns it into a big game.
Yeah, like there was a couple of times yesterday, he's dead to rights, defensive back, linebacker, whatever, standing right in front of him, and he just curls around him and turns it into a big play. And Mississippi State has not had that at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. They just haven't. Right. You know, Jamion Lewis did some good things, quick, twitchy guy. He wasn't like this.
Right.
Tulu Griffin was a guy that I would say was like really good straight line speed. Mm-hmm. Speed. This is a different kind of quickness.
He had 3 or 4 catches this year where he catches the ball with the back to the defense and is able to pivot and get upfield and get 15, 20. And against Arizona State, it was an 80-yard gain.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that, you know, when you watch a lot of soccer like I do, we talk about like the ability to turn.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have the ball at your feet and then you make a turn and get around the defender. He has that.
Yeah.
And not a lot of wide receivers have that. He's a really good football player. I hope he returns to Mississippi State next year and gets a chance to be on a better football team.
I don't want to spend a ton of money on skill guys.
Him and Craver.
You do what it takes
that's
to keep them.
That's a perception is reality thing. If you lose those guys, people are going to be like, what are we doing?
Yeah. I have faith that they're going to get really good wide receivers in this offense, mm-hmm. but you need to keep the continuity.
Yeah, I agree.
And those two are, you know, they have the potential to be two of the best in the league.
Agreed. Number eight, I can't tell you how many times I saw this on Twitter. I've seen it on some message boards. I'm just going to say it out loud, guys. Zach Arnett is not coming back to Mississippi State to coach. To be the defensive coordinator.
People want him to come back.
Oh, I've seen it all weekend.
Oh.
It was in my mentions earlier. Like, we should get him back. He should swallow his pride and come back. Like, that is not going to happen.
It's people were enamored with bringing back people that were other here, here earlier.
Uniquely Mississippi State thing, but going back as far as I can remember, whenever there's a coaching search, it's always like, why don't we just bring back so-and-so?
Andy Canizero.
Yeah.
People want to bring Andy Canizero back.
Yeah.
He was fired at a high school baseball program. They want to bring him back.
Yes.
Oh,
like,
man.
Anytime there's an assistant coaching job in basketball, open, what's Robert Kirby doing?
Mm.
Like, there's a
no
whole,
Stan Jones?
Yeah, there's a whole world of assistant coaches out there. Zach Arnett is not coming back to Mississippi State. Let that die here.
He's about to be a DC somewhere else next year.
He will be somewhere else next year. By the way, I don't think it's any coincidence that Ole Miss's defense, I mean, they added a lot of talent, don't get me wrong. They're a lot better than they were last year. I don't think Arnett's presence up there is being unfelt.
No,
he's helped them.
Oh, I mean, and Pete Golding's a good defensive coordinator.
He is. But I'm just saying that having Arnett has certainly. Yeah.
Let's be real though. The reason they're so good is their defensive line.
Yeah, they have Nolan and Uman Mielen.
If you control the line of scrimmage, your defense is going to follow suit.
Agreed.
Mississippi State doesn't have any talent on the defensive line right now or depth.
They're not wrong. Last one, and this is one, Robbie. If we could talk for like 45 minutes. There is nothing about Mississippi State football that is appealing. The team is not good. The stadium is not state of the art. The experience for the fans is not great. State needs a total reboot of football from top to bottom. And I'm telling you, like, they need somebody that goes in there. You've heard like the term like VP of common sense. Just somebody who just goes in there and says, okay, this is a problem. How quickly can we fix it? You know, you had yesterday at the game, the ribbon boards were like 2 quarters behind on the scores. I mean, why do you even have these ribbon boards to update the scores if the scores aren't accurate. You were trying to rebrand your entire athletic department with the state script, but there are still banner M's in the stadium that would be easily replaceable. I understand you probably can't get to the one on top of the Jumbotron. That's fine.
Well, somebody needs to. That thing's...
I think it's faded. It feels like it's
15 years old.
It is 15 years old. But you have those two where the team comes out.
Yeah.
How much can it possibly cost to replace those with something that says that has the state script on there? It can't be much. Just little things like that. People have gotten onto us this weekend about the logo, and that's fine. I don't want to go too far down the road with that.
By the way, we spent like 2 minutes on that conversation.
I agree.
The other day. But
a bunch of first off, these two things are not mutually exclusive. People want to hit us with the whole, if we just had the logo, we would have won. Nobody is saying that.
Nobody said that.
What we're saying, they're mutually exclusive. We can complain about the winning and the losing, but you can also, if State was undefeated right now, there'd probably be less complaints. But people would still be like, our uniforms aren't great. And it's just as simple as how you do the one thing, the little things, is how you do the big things. If you don't give a crap about little things, how can I trust you to give a crap about big things? And this university right now just needs somebody who can step in and say, we have a huge problem. Our fans, who we are begging to come to games to watch this miserable football team.
1-7.
They feel disconnected. Mm-hmm. They feel like they aren't getting their money's worth. They feel like we are looking down on them. Like we are telling them, you're going to take this pile of crap and live with it because what other option do you have? You're going to start being an Alabama fan? No. And that's just not a good place to, because at the end of the day, not only is Mississippi State the customers, but they're bankrolling the team. They're kind of like the owners, too.
It's like Green Bay Packers.
Like, yeah. It's Mississippi State fans' money that's running literally everything about this program. This Saturday is going to be, I don't know if it'll be a slap in the face or a stark realization or not, but when that game starts and there's like 15 to 20,000 people in there in a 62,000 seat stadium that hasn't been full since 2018. Somebody has to have the self-awareness and the common sense and the ability and the humility to look around and say, we have a problem that we need to fix. And so you fix a few little problems. And then, that's what I used to tell when I was in restaurant management, our supervisor come in and give us a cleaning list, right? And like the number one, like clean the oven.
Yeah.
Cleaning that oven is you have to wait till you close. You take it apart. You take it to the car wash.
Spray it down with
the pressure washer. Put it back there. That usually means you're getting home at like 5 in the morning. That's one we'll save to the end, right?
Yeah.
Like wash the windows. Sweep the floor.
Nobody notices it until it's bad.
Do the little things and start building up some momentum to turn into the big things. Somebody has got to take hold of this. And I don't know if it's Zach Selman, if it's Mark Keenum, if it's Jeff Lebby. I don't know who that person needs to be. I don't know who that person is that needs to step up and say, we have a huge problem. Our university is way behind in just with the way we take care of our fans. I mentioned it. I've mentioned it a million times. I went to the Ole Miss Arkansas game last year. That experience as a fan, look, I didn't have fun at the game because Ole Miss won. But the Ole Miss fans that are around me are having an unbelievable time. That game was tight. Arkansas could have won, but it was a party in there. And they have created an atmosphere that leads to that. And I know when we talked to, Zach Selman said that like they may have to put LED lights on the back burner and may have to put some sound improvements on the back burner. You just can't.
You can't.
You can't be the only team in the conference whose stadium is like that. Vanderbilt's probably they're finishing up their construction. When they're done, my guess is they're going to be right there. You cannot go on like this. When I say you can't go on like this about Coleman Hutzler, I mean that too about what we're talking about in terms of fan experience and what they're doing with the stadium and everything else. You've got to fix these things. Otherwise, we're going to look up in about a decade, and that in-state rivalry game at the end of the season is going to be against Southern Miss.
Yeah. I think people just – they listen to what we do, and they just dismiss it immediately because they call it complaining. Mm-hmm. And it's really not complaining. It really isn't. It's not about you know, we're just picking a logo and we just decide to complain about it. These are fundamental issues within Mississippi State's athletic department. A perfect example of where things are right now is there has been a disconnect between the university and athletics on what the logo should be. Both sides have been, you know, athletics just kind of goes into, we're going to use a state script. And the university says, no, it doesn't market Mississippi State. We're not going to use the state script. So they're pushing out the M state, and athletics is pushing out state script. You have a banner over here on the back of the Jumbotron. You have a giant M state on the side of the stadium. You have state script on the field. It's just, it's, there's a disconnect there, and there's nobody's on the same page. And I think they've gotten more on the same page, but it's still going to be jumbled. There's going to be state script sometimes. There's going to be M state sometimes. It's just, you know, get on the same page, everybody pull in the same direction, do what you got to do to make the fans happy, because they are funding literally everything in your athletic department.
Yeah.
Fundraising for facilities, it comes from fans. The ticket sales pay for the lights, pay for you to put a game on. NIL, scholarships, everything is the fans. The fans are paying for everything. There was fans this weekend that spent hundreds of dollars to come to that game and watch a 1-7 Mississippi State team give up 58.
If you got a hotel room, your number is had a comma in it.
And they go home, they don't get a thank you.
Yeah.
They don't get, I mean, you should be happy to be here. That's where it is.
It's tough right now.
And it's not, we're not sitting here complaining week to week. We want this to change so Mississippi State doesn't fall apart.
Yeah.
When you go to the game on Saturday or you watch it on TV, the people out there that are trolling us after the week that we had and coming in there talking about we're, you know, the logo lost the game, whatever. When you look in the stands on Saturday against UMass, don't blame us. Don't blame us for that stuff. There's a fundamental problem with Mississippi State athletics that has to be fixed. And football has just magnified it, because that is the – that's basically the – you know, the snapshot of your university and the SEC. Football is what pays the bills. And Mississippi State does not have a good product right now. They have an embarrassing defense. And this is a program that has just the pride of it has been on the defensive side of the ball. The offense, I think, is what's going to sell tickets for them. But State should never be in this spot on defense. And nobody wants to watch that. Nobody wants to be patient anymore, and they shouldn't be, because they're spending more money than ever. We already have people talking about, should we just go ahead and cancel the Bulldog Initiative money that we're giving, because whatever money we're giving now is going to the product on the field. So people are already questioning whether or not they should fund what Mississippi State's doing. So somebody better fix it, or this is about to get really bad, like worse than it has been. So it's you're right. It's a complete.
It's just a top to bottom
thing. It's a complete issue right now that's got to be corrected soon. I agree with you 100%. They've got to bite the bullet and just go ahead and fix the issues inside the stadium.
You got to fix those. You just got to spend that money.
If you don't want to do LED lights, whatever. I'm kind of like, I'll let that go. But the sound system is high school. It's a 1A high school.
One thing they said about LED lights is that makes some sense. Makes some sense is that right now State's not playing a lot of night games.
Yeah.
And so you're doing this for maybe two games a year. Now you get the program better, and now all of a sudden you're getting those plum 6:30 kicks. You want to have those. I get that. So I would just do it just to say, so we have them when we need
They're
them.
They're done.
Yeah. So, but
and just go ahead and get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Be done with it. If you can fundraise for it, great. If you got to take out a loan, do it. Do whatever you got to do to fix yourself first.
If you improve the experience, you can charge more for tickets. Even if the team's not great, you can charge more for tickets. So,
the line that keeps getting thrown out is, well, do you want better players or do you want – let's do both. So, somebody just gave $8 million for players.
Yeah.
There's people who are giving money for that. But there's got to be a way that you can do both. And if you're that – like if you just don't have the money – then that's just a big problem in itself. So I just refuse to believe that you can't do both. I think that it's just going to take someone saying, you know what, we're just going to get this done, be done with it. If you got to say just to shut these people up, then, hey, so be it. But please just do something to fix the issues that you have in place, because right now State is now sliding to the very bottom of the SEC in fan experience.
All right.
Basketball season's coming up next
week. Yes, it is. It is. Basketball, as we all know, should be really, really good this year. Should be a lot of fun to watch. Should be, among other things, very important. So other things are important as well.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
As you know, Coffee is for Closers is brought to you by the good folks over at Strange Brew Coffee House. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com is the place to find the Strange Brew coffee that you're looking for if you want it delivered right to your door. The holiday season's coming up. If you've got a coffee lover in your house, hit them up with Strange Brew Coffee. Coleman Hutzler, the entire defensive staff, every defensive player, any analyst or grad assistant associated with the defense, and I'm going to throw Jeff Lebby on here as well because he hired all those guys. No coffee. Not a drop. Not even a bean. They can't even go in there and get one of the chocolate-covered espresso beans.
Oh.
No. Nothing for that group.
Yikes.
You lose. Good day, sir.
Yeah. I'd hate to see the money that's being spent on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I would not want to be part of it. By the way, I know there's some stuff going around like, oh, it may be a problem to pay by. Again, if you can't
spend it,
you can't come up with a couple mil to get rid of those guys. Just tell the SEC thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah,
because there's no point in going on.
If you're going to sacrifice, you know, winning games just to save a buck.
Mm-hmm.
You got some big fundamental problems that goes right back to what we were just talking about.
There were no big upsets nationally this week, so we're going to do.
Yeah, it was kind of
blah, which is fine.
LSU A&M was fine.
Well, that's why. Well, let's do two SEC teams, and we'll do Oklahoma to start. Not that I expect them to beat Ole Miss. This was the stat that got me. Ole Miss had 9 sacks yesterday.
Ugh.
From Jackson Arnold. None of them were from blitzes. They just whipped guys one on one. Oklahoma is, I mean, they are just, hold on. Let's get my trusty schedule out here. Oklahoma.
Making Jeff Lebby look good, though.
They got Maine, so they'll win.
Remember
that.
The Maine.
But,
well,
they're at Missouri. They'll lose. Brady Cook will be okay. They're off this week. He'll heal up. They'll be fine. Then they go to they host Alabama. No chance. At LSU, no chance. That's 3-9, buddy. I'm sorry. Sorry, it's 4-8. 4-8.
Welcome to the SEC.
That's 0-8 in the conference too.
Ooh, no, they beat Auburn.
So then, who do they? 1-2-3.
1-7.
So they're 5. They'd go 5-7. 1-7.
Bad.
That's not great. Not great. And you're right about the Jeff Lebby thing. I mean, they were adamant that he was not a big part of their success.
What's crazy is they gave this guy like more money and extended him like. What had Brent Venables done to deserve that?
Yeah.
Nobody was coming after him.
Their buyout right now is like 50 mil.
That was because so
they decided
dumb.
And it's not like they did it at the end of last season. It had been one thing if they were like, hey, with all these openings, we might want to extend our guy here. They did it in the spring.
Yeah.
Like when nobody's hiring. It made zero sense to me. And now you see, you know, they're probably going to have to stick with him another year.
Yeah, this isn't a Coleman Hutzler situation. Like, Coleman Hutzler, I think you're going to owe him $2 million.
Yeah, that's fine.
This is a little different.
$50 million is a lot. You know.
They might have trouble finding somebody that could fit that bill.
And then, no chicory in the coffee down on the bayou. No community coffee for LSU. They were rolling.
Just too bad.
They looked great in that first half. And I was like, wow, they are really on the way here.
Thought A&M was done.
And then A&M makes a quarterback change. Do you know what that game reminded me of? The 09 Egg Bowl. When State had Tyson Lee out there and they couldn't do much. And then State brings in Chris Relf and Ole Miss looks like they'd never seen a football before. And that's what happened. Marcel Reed, who has got to be the starting quarterback now.
Oh, yeah. You can't go back now.
They're on track. They should not Their next games. They're at South Carolina. They'll be favored. Obviously, New Mexico State favored. At Auburn favored. They're going to be favored in every game the rest of the way. Then they host Texas. They could be favored in that.
Yeah. You remember before they played Missouri that they didn't think that Wigman was coming back. He came back.
Had a and
they
put him, game.
They did. They were – a lot of people were surprised that they were starting Wigman.
Yeah.
Because Marcel Reed had been so good.
Yeah.
So now you can't go back now.
Yeah, no, he's the guy now going forward. I mean, good player. Good player.
They just look a lot different under Mike Elko. Yeah. They just I've always been a big Elko fan.
Yeah.
You remember like when all that was going down with Mark Stoops, yeah. I was like, just go hire Mike Elko yeah. and be done with it. Yeah, and they yeah. did. I think he's a much more solid program guy than Jimbo Fisher.
Program.
Yeah. I think he took a shot at Jimbo. So, on Saturday night.
So Andy Staples did an article about that. He thinks he's taking a shot at Brian Kelly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I figured it was Jimbo.
I thought it was too, but he said, you know,
the fast politician.
Some of the stuff that he's talking about, it makes you think he might be talking about Brian Kelly.
I thought it might have been Jimbo, but
yeah, that's fine with me.
Maybe
either
not.
Either way, I don't care. I like.
Yeah, that was a nice second half. It was fun to watch.
They beat the crap out of them.
The people that say there was a tweet going around last week about momentum's not real in sports, completely false. Momentum is so important in sports.
I don't normally do this, but I mean, you can tell who didn't play sports.
Exactly.
Like, you know, I never, like, Mike McDaniel didn't play football. He's a great coach, but like, I get that. But like, if you didn't play or weren't associated with sports, then that's just a dumb take.
Yep.
It's absolutely a thing.
It's real. 100%, and that it happened on Saturday night.
Yeah, it did.
That snowball started rolling, and you couldn't stop it.
Tomorrow's show, we'll recap Jeff Lebby's press conference. We'll have the sign. I will do our SEC picks. Are you three up? Did you go back and listen? I'm pretty sure you are.
I'll have to go back and listen. I'm pretty sure you took Auburn.
Did you? We were different on one game.
So it was that one.
It was that one. It wasn't LA. You took A&M.
I think we both took A&M.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, then you're three up.
I'll go back and listen.
All right. I'm in desperation mode at that point. Plus, I think tomorrow, let's do this. I've been wanting to do it for a while, but we're just through the halfway point of the SEC. Let's power rank the SEC tomorrow.
Okay.
It should be very interesting to see how that looks.
So, yeah.
We'll do that tomorrow. Guys, hope you enjoyed watching us today on YouTube. We'll be doing that going forward. And, of course, available wherever you get podcasts as well. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.